Morning, everyone. Morning. Can I just pray before we begin? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together here at morning prayer and to spend time together physically. Lord, we do not take any of these opportunities for granted. And Father, we make the most of it, Father, by spending time with you this morning as we hear your word. And I pray that you anoint my lips as I share on Psalm 29, and Lord, that you provide us with insight on the meaning of these words that apply to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So can we just turn to Psalm 29? Psalm 29. And I'll be reading from the ESV translation. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. The voice of the Lord is a powerful thing. We have encountered the voice of the Lord since the very commencement of creation. The Lord speaks and creation comes into being. The implication there is that when the Lord speaks, things become. When the Lord speaks, things are created. Things are given life. When the Lord speaks, action takes place. The ironic thing is that we often are the ones that don't carry out what the Lord commands. We, in fact, are one of the very few creatures, if not the only creature, that has the power to say, no, I will not listen to your voice. I will listen to another voice. And in fact, throughout our lives, and even as you read through scriptures, you'll realize that very much the theme of voice comes up again and again. It's the theme of the battling voices. It's the theme of which voice are we listening to. This is apparent from the fall. God said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Because Adam listened to the voice of his wife, and in doing so, he disobeyed God, the ground is cursed, and we all suffer for it. In Genesis 16, the same thing happened again. Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, and maybe that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Again, Abram did not listen to God. He did not wait on the Lord as the Lord had commanded. Sarai had other plans. Sarai did not listen to the voice of God, and Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. That's the first voice, the disobedient voice. The second type of voice is different. And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. This is the voice of Abel's blood. After Abel had died, the Lord saw that there was an innocent voice crying out from his death. Genesis 21, God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. This is the innocent voice. This is the voice of the innocent that cries out to the Lord for help. We cry out to the Lord for help when we're in need, when we're in distress. And the Lord hears us. Even Hagar's son, Ishmael, who is not the favored one, he is not the one through whom our Lord comes. He is not the one that was promised to Abraham. But even then, the Lord hears him. Even then, the Lord blesses him. Even then, the Lord protects him. He is the innocent voice. He is the voice that cries out for help. And then the third and final voice, the Lord's voice. The voice that spoke creation into being. The voice that commands us to obey. The voice that guides our life. This is the voice that we shall listen to. Genesis 22. In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Exodus 15. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. So there are, by and large, three types of voices in Scripture. The structure of chapter 29 is very clear. It starts with us lifting up our voices to hail and to praise God. In the ESV translation, it says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The word ascribe doesn't quite capture it. A better translation would be to say hail. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the Lord. The word hail connotes worship. It connotes praise, but not just any praise. It's a type of praise where you lift your hand up high. It's the kind of praise where you dance before the altar of the Lord. It's the kind of praise that you don't see regularly at a conservative church on a Sunday service. It's a type of hailing and dancing and weeping and wailing that one would expect when we give thanks for the Lord who protects us from certain death. That is how the chapter starts. It starts with an ecstatic praise. And the response is evident. Throughout the rest of the chapter, we see what the voice of the Lord can do. Now, of course, we know that theologically, this is really alluding to Jesus Christ. Because the Lord, his word is the Son of God. The word that became flesh is the Son of God. The Lord speaks, and the Son of God, the anointed one who had been with him in eternity, takes on flesh. The word of the Lord is whom we should listen to. He is the personified and the very personification of the Lord's speech. There's something very important about that. If we listen to the Son of God, we're essentially listening to God's voice. We're listening to God's word. And how does the chapter end? Verses 10 and 11. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. It's an interesting phrase here. The word flood doesn't come up often in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. In fact, the very few times that it does come up, it refers to the flood in the days of Noah. And the writer here intentionally refers to the Lord being enthroned over the flood as a reference to the days of Noah, because that is the one time and the only time where a global judgment was made on the righteousness or the non-righteousness of man. And that we know that there is one to come instead of by water, but by fire. And in that light, we see that he's enthroned as king forever. He blesses people from that throne. The picture of the throne, of course, indicates his sovereignty. The picture of the throne shows that he's in complete control. And it is from that premise of control that he's blessing his children. And his children are the ones that are crying out to him with that innocent voice. The Lord, help us. The Lord, save us from these circumstances. Save us from my predicament. And he listens and he hears our voices and he covers us from his throne room. He is in complete control. What does that mean for us today? Well, it's quite simple, really. The application of this chapter is apparent. We're to discern, firstly, whether the voices that we're hearing today are indeed from God. If yes, quite simply, we do what he says. There's no two ways about it. And as I mentioned, we have the privilege and the power to say no, which of course translates into disobedience, but yet we do it all the time. Because we have been given that choice. Many creatures in this world are not given that choice and power to say no and to slow down, quote-unquote, slow down God's plan, or to not bring it to fruition, as a result of which he then uses another person in the kingdom to do it. And we know that from the book of Esther, from what Mordecai says to Esther. But yes, if we know that there's a voice from the God saying something, we do what he says. But if not, then we have to question ourselves. Is it the voice of the innocent? Is it the voice of someone else crying out for help? Is it the voice that we should listen to because we should go to that person's aid? Of course, many times we ignore that voice, like what Cain does. We hear the voice of the innocent, our neighbors, the poor, the people that are struggling on the streets, the cleaners, whatever they may, wherever they may be, and we ignore that voice. Why? Because we're caring more about our own lives. We care about the voices around us, not the voices of those that really need help. Or, even worse, is it the voice of the disobedient? Is it the voice of the enemy, using people to distract us, to take us away from God's mission? Now, we are bombarded with lots of voices today. With the help of Scripture, we more or less have a pretty good idea of what is or isn't consistent with the Lord's character and values, so that we are able to identify with more clarity whether a voice is from God or not. But what if something is entirely neutral, and it's not clear whether it's necessarily a voice from God or the voice from the enemy? COVID-19, national security law, fear-mongering, news, comments made by our colleagues, spouses, family members. These are all, in and of themselves, neutral voices. But what have we been doing to regulate and to discern? The Lord gave us a mind. The Lord gave us a heart. The Lord gave us a new spirit. How are we using that to discern amongst these voices? The reality is that we are so easily affected and that we do succumb to these changes of circumstances that are happening in these turbulent times. If today there's a news article that says there are 50 infected, immediately our reaction is likely, let's not go out. Let's not go out to eat. Let's not take public transport. Let's not spend time with our loved ones. But the question is that the right way to respond to that voice? Is that voice a voice where we need to discern how do we respond, not an automatic response? How do we respond within the realms of God's mission? Because if the Lord had said to us to minister to those around us, to love those around us, if that is his call to us, regardless of the circumstances, why is it that our response to these circumstances seem to contradict God's mission for our lives? Then we need to discern, how do we deal with these different voices with wisdom and with tact and with sensitivity? I want us to spend maybe a few minutes now for us to meditate. So if we can just close our eyes, and maybe, James, you can just dim the light. Thank you. James, could you just play maybe a bit of soft worship music? Thank you. So I just want to spend the next 5 minutes for us to meditate. Really, really meditate. What voices have we been hearing? What voices have we been turning our ears to? Do we tune in to a particular TV channel? Do we tune into a particular news channel? Do we spend time with people that speak particular words, that always say those same things? What are those things? Are those things healthy for us spiritually? Are those things edifying for us? Are the things that we hear building us up to be closer to God so that we can discern and hear from God better and act on His words better? So the first question is identifying the voices. What voices have we been hearing? Let me spend a few minutes. I'll spend a bit of time just to meditate on that. Next question I have is, what have we been doing in response to these voices? If we've been making choices to listen to these news, to read these news, spend time with people who say certain things, what have we been doing about them? If they're voices that are from God, have we been obeying? If they're voices of the enemy speaking through our colleagues, our friends, or even our spouse, have we been redirecting those voices to God? Have we been asking the Lord to speak to these people so that they would not succumb so easily to the world's circumstances? Have we been asking God for wisdom in handling the situation with sensitivity? Or do we just listen to the voice and we allow that voice room to grow? Do we enable the disobedient voices in our lives? Let's spend a bit of time on that. Third question is, are we recognizing God's voice today? Do we even hear His voice at all? If not, why not? This question is not that apparent. Some of us may think, yes, I hear the Lord's voice regularly. Or some of us say, well, I don't, and that's okay. I think either one, we need to be careful. What do we mean when we say we hear God's voice regularly? If so, then are we obeying Him regularly? Are we carrying out His commands without delay, since we're allegedly hearing from Him so frequently? On the other hand, if we don't hear from Him frequently, why do we settle? Why do we settle for not hearing His voice? Here, this chapter is reminding us that His voice is powerful enough to overcome all circumstances, and given these turbulent times, even more reason for us to want to hear His voice and ask Him for guidance. Because that is the only steady bearing and the steady foundation in these times. Why don't we want to hear His voice? Why are we unable to hear His voice? It may be because of sin. Maybe sin has detached us from His intimacy. Maybe sin has taken us away from His immediate presence. Maybe sin is the reason why we have chosen not to hear God at all. Maybe sin is the reason why we're not even hearing the innocent voices in our lives. So the question, I guess, goes back to, are we able to recognize God's voice? If not, why not? If so, are we obeying? Let's spend a bit of time on that. Finally, I just want us to ask the last question. What does the Lord want to say to you today? What does He want to say to you right now, today? Maybe we don't spend enough time doing this. We're so bombarded with the world's voices, sounds, noises, disturbances, distractions. And we readily succumb ourselves to that when we're on the streets, when we're putting in our earphones, when we choose what to read. We rarely and barely spend time with Him. But what has He been trying to say to you all this time? What has He been trying to tell you about these turbulent times? What has He been trying to say about these uncertain circumstances? Let's hear from the Lord now. Let's spend some time with Him right now. I just invite Marcus to come up to lead us in worship. Pray over us before we raise our voices to God. And I really hope that when we raise our voices today, that we really raise them to God as if we depend on it. As if we cry out to God, we want Him to help us. We want to recognize Him for His glory. We want to recognize His dominance in our lives. That we raise our voices as if it all boils down to that, that they can hear us. That He can hear us. But also know that sometimes it's not easy to come by to sing to the Lord. I also know that it's not easy to learn to hear from God, especially if we're far from Him, and especially if we are fighting in very difficult circumstances and scenarios in our lives. So I pray a blessing over us. I ask the Lord to bless us. I ask the Lord to cover us. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill us right now, to anoint our lips, to anoint our hearts, and to raise us up. He is the one who can help us pray. He is the one that can help us sing. He is the one who helps us recognize Him for who He is, and that He is our Lord. He is our God. He is not a God. He is not a Lord. He is not just another voice in this world, but He is the booming voice that can drown out all the other noises. He is the booming voice that can drown out all the other voices. He is the booming voice that is all that we want to listen to. That even in the middle of the storm, even His silent whisper is louder than the circumstances of the storm. Even the silent whisper is more powerful than all the disease and pestilence that seems to be surrounding us this day. Even His little whisper is enough to calm the storm. He is powerful. He is sovereign. And we need to recognize Him for that. We need to walk and act and behave as if He is that booming voice, the only voice that we should listen to in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At the mention of Your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of Your name, the silence, wind, and waves at the mention of Your name. You're here, the grace of the Savior, the heart of the Father, You're all we need. You're here, the hands of the healer, the power of Your Spirit, You're all we need. At the mention of Your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of Your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of Your name. You're here, You're the provider, and all I've ever needed, Jesus, You supply. You're here, with wonder-working power, everything You breathe on, coming back to life. At the mention of Your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of Your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of mention of Your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of Your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of Your name. You are my strength, You are my anchor, and You never fail. You are my hope, You will deliver, Emmanuel. You You are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver, Emmanuel. You are my strength, you are my anchor, and you never fail. You are my hope, you will deliver, Emmanuel. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name, silence wind and waves at the mention of your name.
Indeed, at the mention of your name, Father, at the mention of your Son's name, that is enough. Our storms are calmed, the waters are stilled. That's all it takes. The next step is just to walk like that, not just to remain in stillness, but that we then learn to walk in our lives, interact with people in our lives with that truth as our foundation. Thank you, Jesus. So let's now pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are diagnosed with cancer right now, and also pray for those that are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Pray next for the people that are ill and have yet to meet with you. Let's pray that they meet with Jesus and know that the Lord is the one who heals. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for next for those with infirmities right now. Let's pray for healing and relief from their daily sores. Let's pray next for those that are looking for work right now. Let's pray for the Lord to open doors and to help them and to really equip them for interviews when they happen, and that there's no slowdown of opportunities in these times. Let's pray for more opportunities and that they don't need to feel that they're in a dire place. Let's pray for encouragement in their hearts right now. Let's pray now for the mission focus. Let's pray for open doors for ministry in North Korea. Pray for the church in North Korea. Pray for missional opportunities in Asia. And pray for the persecuted churches, especially those in the Middle East right now. Let's pray for them. Pray next for the weekend gatherings, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, youth, spin, spill, services and activities, all meetings, single life workshop that is starting today. Also for SPLI, for the Transform series that is also starting today. Let's pray that the news of there being more infections will not stop there being activity, whether on Zoom or in person, and that people respond to the voice of the Lord in relation to all these different activities that are happening this weekend, and that they respond to Him and not to the world. Let's pray for that. Pray for the I don't think the house churches are meeting, but let's pray for the house churches generally. Let's pray that people are still meeting over the holidays and that there's no disconnection from community. Let's pray for continual community throughout summer and that we continue to build relationship. Let's pray for that. Finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. And we know that we probably receive news updates every so often throughout the day, and that it's very easy to become very paranoid by whatever news that we receive, that we immediately respond in panic and fear and anxiety. And that if we as Christians do that, despite having this foundation, this firm foundation, even if we respond like that, imagine what our friends are going through and our colleagues are going through, that they must be suffering from different types of anxious responses and behavior and mentality, and that we really need to be the agents of peace in their lives. We need to help regulate these news articles. We need to help them hear from the right voices, and then we need to bring them back before the throne of God. Because it is only before the throne of God in His temple, in this holy place, that we find any sense of order, that we find any sense of stability and security. And we need to bring that to them. We need to bring that to them. So we need to be in the right place before the Lord as well. So let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our hearts. Let's pray that we are anxiously not listening to the news, not listening to people, but listening to the Father. Let's pray for that. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to pray together physically. It's a privilege that many places in the world don't have, and that many people, many places in the world have, but may not be safe to have. But Lord, whatever the case may be, Father, we just pray for your protection over SP, over the sanctuary. We pray that when people walk in, they will be blessed. They will walk away feeling like they've heard from you. They will walk away feeling like they've got to know you better, and they can obey you better. Let's pray that for everyone who walks in here, that they really have an encounter with you, and that no time is wasted. That's not just another Sunday activity or another Saturday, whatever day activity it is. Let's pray that, Father, we learn to hear your voice better, and that we allow your voice to take hold of our lives more. Thank you, Jesus. We pray these things in your Son's name, Father. Amen. Amen. Have a good weekend, guys. Look forward to seeing you at service tomorrow.